The wonderful Harry Styles there. All right, you are heading to the airport. You've made sure you've packed the passport. You've checked twice. You've cancelled the milk. You've gotten someone to water the plants. But have you thought about the useful travel tech you could be bringing with you, whether you're flying away or even driving to the coast? Noise-cancelling headphones and tracking tags for your bags could be your best holiday buddies. So to talk me through it all, Elaine Burke, the host of For Tech's Sake podcast, is here to give us a breakdown of what is good to have in the hand luggage and what's good to have in the suitcase. Elaine, good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So let's start with the noise cancelling headphones, because they are just non-negotiable in our house and in our suitcases. We've got to have them in. They were very expensive, but now you can get them much cheaper, can't you?
Yeah, like they can go as low as, I think, maybe 50 euro for a good pair. Now, I would say when it comes to noise cancelling, you do get bang for your buck, or no bangs for your buck, as the case may be, because the more expensive ones are more advanced in terms of the noise cancelling technology.
Okay.
But if you're not too fussy about the noise cancelling, if you don't mind a few little things getting through, then the lower end ones will be absolutely fine for you. One thing I would say though, for headphones, for the over the ear ones, they are great. I find them more comfortable for the long haul
kind of
things, but I wouldn't advise wearing them for takeoff and landing, because you should wait until the cabin pressure has kind of equalized to put something like that on your ears, because you might get discomfort when your ears don't pop correctly and stuff like that. So that's a little pro tip.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
What I also like about them as well is that if you don't want to talk to the person next to you, it's a very clear signal that, you know, the little in-ears people might not see, but if you want a little bit of space and a little bit of privacy,
yeah, 100%.
Kind of a good
one. Eye mask on and some over-ear headphones and no one will talk to you.
Totally. All right, the other dread, I suppose, for people these days can be their mobile running out of battery. I think it's something that we all panic about. So I generally keep a charger in the hand luggage, you know, if you've got airport delays or anything like that. But these portable chargers and the power banks, they're a good investment too.
Oh, 100%. Like I've had portable chargers that I got in goodie bags years ago at tech events that I still would bring on holidays with me. Because not only for your phone, like say if you're bringing, like I bring a Polaroid away with me, like, but it's charged via USB. Yeah, but it's got a USB charger on it. So if I think that that's going to run low on battery, I can bring the portable charger for that. Like if you get a big enough one, you could charge up a laptop, charge up an iPad. What you're looking at there is the capacity of the portable charger. So you'll see these figures that have an M, capital A, H, and that's the milliamp capacity, and they're normally in the thousands. So you're looking at, for an iPad mini, you need at least 6,000 milliamps to fully charge that battery. 11,000 for an iPad Pro. Phones, like if they're really powerful phones, probably in around 8,000 milliamps for them. So look at the capacity of what you're buying.
I haven't a clue what that actually, I know what you mean, like it's a bigger drive into it.
Yeah.
But in terms of space, say in your hand luggage, you know, you can, the little ones for the phones are small enough and they're not heavy. So are you talking about if you need to charge a laptop or a tablet, are there lightweight versions of those?
Oh yeah, like they basically can pack a lot of that power into the size of an everyday smartphone for a good bit of power, because they don't have any other components of the smartphone to contend with. So they can pack a lot in there, but do just check the capacity is going to give you what you need and charge up enough devices if you wanted to do multiple things, and charge it before you go away.
Yes.
So that actually has a charge in it as well.
It's ready to go. I know it's an obvious one and it's not new, but travel adapters, it's the kind of panic when you get to the other end and you've forgotten it and trying to find one. So that's one to remember to put in as well.
Yeah,
right?
So often forgotten. I leave mine with my passport so that I never forget to throw that in the
bag.
And
there are the real fancy ones now that work for anywhere in the world. They've got all the different plugs on them. Are you a fan of those, or do you like the individual ones?
They're handier because I don't have to have multiple adapters. I just have the one and I can bring one wherever I go, which is really, really useful. And some of them that you get now also have USB connections in them, so you can just plug your phone charger USB straight into the plug adapter, which is really handy.
Okay, perfect. Now, the other thing that we're all doing now is boarding cards onto our phones, even those, me included, who wouldn't leave the house without the printed version. I just always had the fear. But now, not just boarding cards, but plane tickets as well. We can put those on our phones. So have you done that? Is that how you travel now, with your plane ticket on your phone? Is it all airlines that allow that, or what's the story?
I mean, I haven't travelled on an airline that didn't have like digital boarding passes, digital tickets in a long time. Now, if you do check in the airport, you probably will get a physical boarding pass. But a lot of the time you'll have done it at home online and you'll have it on your phone. Now, some of the proprietary apps for certain airlines will tell you that you have to download their app to use that boarding pass. That's a lie. It's just a scanning code. It's just a barcode. So once you have a PDF or even a screenshot, that will do. Now, it has to be nice and clear, and you want the brightness on your phone up. If you've had trouble going through those screens before, it's often to do with the brightness on your phone being too low to get the contrast of the barcode.
That's happened to me a number of times where you try to scan it and then they ask you to increase the brightness and immediately you go through.
So that's something that if you've had trouble before, to look at the brightness of your phone and see if that's causing you any issues. And just make sure it's big enough as well to scan, but also not too big that it fits inside the window of the screen.
And again, just going back to what we were saying earlier, you want to make sure that the phone is charged. That's why I always have the printout version anyway, just in case.
I would always recommend having printouts, to be honest. Now, I used to carry things on a USB, but in the age of heightened cybersecurity, people don't like to plug strangers' USBs into their system. So printouts, no friction there.
Yeah.
If you have a printout as a backup, it's light, it's not going to take up any space, and it's there as a fail-safe if anything goes wrong. And if anything goes wrong, even on the tech side of the airport, you still have your boarding card.
Okay. Talk to me about tags. So these electronic tags, we've got Tile tags, we've got Apple Air tags, in terms of attaching these on your luggage, your passport, whatever you want, whatever's kind of valuable to you. And then you always have a track on it.
Yeah, there's loads of different style of tags. Like Apple has a few different types. And then there's a company called Tile who's been doing these kind of tags for a very long time. I think they were one of the first to market that I was aware of. And they have different versions. There's one that looks like a credit card, so it can sit in your wallet if you're worried about losing your wallet while you're away. You can attach one to like the case on your phone. You could put one in the pocket of your kid, like if you're worried about losing track of them. But you know, moral implications there. Make sure the kid is informed as consented to that kind of tracking. But I think putting it on the luggage maybe will give you some kind of peace of mind. But at the end of the day, if your luggage gets lost, you'll just be able to see that it's lost.
You're going to Chicago.
You won't
be able to
track it down. Like the point of these is really that it'll show you on a map where the item is and you'll be able to track it down. Whereas if your luggage is in the wrong country, I don't see you following through on that. You'll still have to contact your airline and hope that they can sort it out for you.
Yeah, well, most of my friends have the little tag on their phones.
Yeah.
You know, because we have to find my iPhones, but they're a great way, you know, if you can't, if you're like me and you're kind of losing things quite a lot, it's a good way to keep track of it. This is more low tech, but definitely a way of keeping your high tech stuff safe. A waterproof phone case.
These are great because a lot of like holidays involve some beachside or poolside activity, or even, you know, getting out on a boat to do some sightseeing on the water. And people don't often think they're going to be taking photographs, they're going to be whipping their phone out here and there, and they could easily drop their phone or their phone could get splashed. Now, most phones have a high level of water resistance, the kind of top level models these days, but that's water resistance. It's not waterproofing.
Proof.
And if enough water gets into any of the cavities on the phone, like the connection ends, then you will have problems. And you don't want that to happen. They're very expensive devices, and you could lose some like precious memories that are stored on there if that happens to it. So these like little pouches, they still allow you to use your touch screen when it's in the pouch, and they come with a lanyard that you can kind of hang around your neck or maybe tie around your belt or something like that, so that even if you're on a boat or something like that, if you drop it, it's not going to go far. And because you can still use your touch screen, you can still take your pictures and do all of that. It's just a small thing that actually can make a big difference.
And even if you're going to very humid climates as well, the humidity can mess with our technology as well, and I always think that's a good one. They're so cheap as well.
Yeah, you think like there's good ones that are around like 39 quid with a good strong lanyard on them, but I'm sure you can get them even cheaper than that as well. Just check that they have good waterproofing. They should have a certification for their waterproofing.
Okay, you're getting on the flight. You're stressed out of your eyeballs because you've got one, two or three children with you. You're panicking as to going, am I going to get to the other end without actually losing it here? So you've got your iPad, you've got tablets for the kids, you've got everything ready to go. Don't make the mistake that my sister-in-law did and not download the cartoons from the device before she got on the flight.
Yeah.
So important.
You don't have Wi-Fi on flight unless, like, you know, it's a long haul flight and some airlines provide that at a cost. And
you're paying for that.
You might
Wi-Fi
get
then.
Stung in the air then.
But
and
a lot of the European routes, they don't have it.
Oh, yeah. You should absolutely download stuff because it also will save you money for having to use Wi-Fi on the flight, which often is unstable anyway, even if you do get access to it. So download in advance. Like I do it for podcasts when I travel. You can download books, download your Netflix favorites, all that kind of stuff. Just make sure you have lots of space on your phone to store it all.
Yeah. And well, what we do as well is delete it then once you come home and upload new ones then for the next trip. Portable speakers, talk to me about those.
Yeah, so what I would do here, if you're buying a portable speaker online, I'd bear in mind that there's kind of a shift in the market here where some speakers that are marketed as portable, they kind of mean portable for maybe carrying around the house or maybe out on a picnic, and they're not really thinking for travel, because for travel you want things to be as light as possible, if especially mm-hmm. if you're trying to pack light and keep it to the one case or whatever. So do check the actual weight of it. Just because it says it's portable, it still might be a little bit bulky and a little bit heavy for you. So if you're buying online, that's a good thing to do. If you're buying in person, you can actually see for yourself and try it out. But there's great portable speakers out there. Some of them are waterproof as well. So again, if you're going to be poolside at the beach, they're a great investment because they're not going to get too damaged. And some of them like have great, great sound. If you're looking at brands like Logitech, you tend to get really good sound quality.
Okay, always good to have Google Translate ready to go on the phone as well. And then Google Maps, because I found this interesting. I only found this out very recently that, you know, when you're in an airport, say that you've not been in before, whether it's a long haul flight, but say Frankfurt Airport, which is absolutely massive because it's a real thoroughfare in terms of world travel. And it's so huge. There's so much to Frankfurt Airport. You can actually put in Google Maps and figure out the distance, say, from one gate to the next. It also tells you what's available in the airport as well. So it's a good one to think about, isn't it? It's good one to have on the phone.
Like, airports are massive complexes. So like, even though you're in a building, Google can still tell you the distance between your terminal one to your terminal five if you need to make a connecting flight and want to plan ahead for that. Like, and that's really useful information. And for walking distance, it tends to overestimate. So if you're a fast walker, you can usually do quicker than what Google estimates. So that's good as well in terms of advice. If you're a slower walker, account for that as
well. Yeah, or if you've got kids, you know, at least it can give you that sense of time.
And some airlines as well, or some airports will have services as well. If you go to their websites, they might have, like I know in Dublin Airport, I use this all the time. They have WhatsApp notifications for your flight. So you do a search for your flight number and it will offer to plug into your WhatsApp and give you up to the minute notifications if there's a gate change, if there's a delay. And with the year that we've had in terms of delays and things like that, that's actually been really useful because it means you don't have to keep getting up to check the screens. You're getting those alerts straight to your phone. So like, look out for things like that.
Brilliant. Are you going on holidays yourself?
I've done
soon?
All my holidays. I try to get them out of the way when it's cheap before summer hits, and then I'll go away again in October. So I'll just be in Ireland now for the next 4 or 5 months.
Happy days. All right, Elaine Burke, thank you very much for coming in to chat to me today. She is the host of For Tech's Sake podcast. I was hoping I got that right, which I think I did. All right, back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.